If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. But before you do, I want to read, or while you're turning, I want to read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. We ought to paint that on the White House. You ought to take it to heart how true it is. Let me read it one more time. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. When 42% of the people who are registered to vote and left the president in America, they get what they deserve. You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, you render to God the things that are God's. And folks, there's a tremendous parallel between our messages in the Old Testament and what's happening in history today. History repeats itself. Look, if you will, in 1 Samuel and chapter 16. Now, we have been walking with King David, and of course, King David is the shadow of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let's turn to this passage. That's 1 Samuel 16, and I'm still in verse 1 through 13, and I don't know how long I'll be there, but I'll be there until I get finished. Notice what it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel." The Lord said unto Samuel. That's authority. That's not a politician. That's the Lord said unto Samuel. And notice it's all a capital letter. This is God Almighty saying unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I," underline a little pronoun there, "I have rejected him from reigning over Israel." You wanted the president, you wanted the president. You wanted the king, and you got a king, you got Saul. Saul was the people's king. Now, "I have appointed a king, David, he's my king, and I've appointed him." It's a reason here. Look at this. "I have rejected Saul from reigning over Israel. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, to Bethlehem, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king." I, underline it, "have provided me a king among his sons." I wonder if he went down and told Jesse, "I've got it. You're one of your boys is going to be a king." I don't think so. Our God's sovereign. Our God knows what's going on. You may not, but God does. And God's in control. And there was a boy in, Jesse's boy, was one of his boys was going to be God's king. God is in control. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you that God's in charge and Saddam Hussein is not? Or any other leader is not? We serve a sovereign God that is in control. Now, we saw Samuel mourning. He was mourning for the prophet. He was mourning because God had mourned because of his sin. He was rejected of God. And Samuel was mourning, and the Lord rebuked him. He said, "This is excessive mourning. So I can mourn, but don't get in a pity party. Don't get defeated. Don't get discouraged about it. Things come in your life." He simply said, "Stop your mourning. I've already anointed the king. Now get up out of here. Anoint, or get your horn full of oil. Go do what I told you to do." There comes a time that we can have a pity party when we look around and see the conditions that exist. And how now, brown cat? What in the world are we going to do? Can it get any worse? And God tells us what to do, and we'll sit around and mope and grope and complain about it. Now, fill your horn with oil and go anoint my king, God said. Go anoint my king. I will send you to, I'm going to tell you where to go. So he sends him to anoint the king. And of course, you saw the misery of the people. The people were defeated. You saw the madness of the priest. You saw Saul. He was a murderer, went to a witch, did everything he could. He had to keep his position. And then you saw all the menace of the Philistines. Then you see the command. Today I want you to see a little more than the command. There was a command going on. He said, fill your horn with oil, go anoint. Now that's the divine commander. You can trust him. But Samuel had to do a little preparation. He couldn't go and nip your horn. I'm afraid that a lot of times we go try to do God's will and the horn is not filled with the oil of the Spirit of God, and we fail. You have to obey God and fill your horn with oil. Well, he had to do that, and we saw that he did that. Just review this a little bit. He filled his horn with oil, and he went, and every Sunday school teacher, listen, don't wait till Sunday night. Don't wait till Sunday morning. You ought to be living that Sunday school class every day, applying the truth. Get it into your heart. Make sure you have your horn filled with oil. I want my horn filled with oil. I want the Spirit of God to fill me to the brim so I can go and anoint the king. That's your job. That's my job. So here we have the anointing of the king. Then I want you to see the providing in the, commandment. Then we looked at the commandment. Then we saw the providing, or preparation for the commandment. Then we saw the providing in the commandment. In verse 1, he said, for I have provided a king. See, God had already provided a king. God told him to prepare a horn with oil. God told him to, there was a providing for the commandment. God said, I have already provided a king, and what's the message I'm going to tell? God has provided a king. God provided me a king. So, the God of the Bible is the God of the provider. He is our great provider. Abraham found that out. In Genesis 22, Abraham found it out. Moses found it out. Joshua found it out. Samson found it out. God provides. You know something, folks? I got news for you. God still provides. He is a provider. God will provide. The Bible says, without what? It's impossible to please God. Without faith, God will provide. God will provide. Stop looking to the government to provide. Look to God to provide. God will provide. So, he said, I have provided me a king. In other words, now, this is my choice, not yours. God said, I provided this king. So, and you know, the immediate fulfillment of this prophecy, there was a prophecy here in this commandment. And the prophecy was that it is David, it is immediately fulfilled, but then there's a future fulfillment, and who is that? That's the son of David, Jesus, our blessed Lord. So, that is the, we've seen the preparation, we've seen the providing, we've seen the prophecy, but now I want us to look at the perception in this commandment. I want you to notice the word provide. I'll spend just a little bit of time on it, but then I want to go to another word. Look what it says, and God will provide. Underline that word. It's an interesting word. I looked it up. I did a little word study on it. The root word study for that word means see. Perception. See. I will provide. And it's used over 1,300 times in the Old Testament. But in its translated, only four times provide or provided. And over in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, carries the same thought as a vision or being able to see. Being able to see or to behold, perception, to see, to look, to see something. And that's when Abraham, remember when Abraham was led to stab to the very heart, the dagger in Isaac, do you remember? And he had asked the question, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb? And God says, God will provide himself a lamb. And if you know anything about geography, you know that that chain of mountains is on a ridge. Calvary is on the same ridge where Abraham offered Isaac. And it's just a lower type. And I believe that that ram was caught with his horns in the thicket right up on the hill at Calvary, and he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And God has shown us there in this passage, you can see a perception, a depth of perception on, look, God provided himself. So here's a principle. This principle wasn't applied by Jesse in verse 1. It wasn't applied by Samuel. It was applied by God. And even Samuel had trouble perceiving or seeing it. Look down in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the outward countenance. Here you are. You've run all seven of all these boys by me. You've run them all. Hey, look not on the outward countenance. Are on the height of the statue, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. That's the thought he's trying to get this together to see. He's trying to get Samuel to see that God has already provided him a sin. Now walk by faith. And sometimes you can't see what God says. You have to walk by faith. When God tells us to do something, then we step out by faith and we do it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see everything that God has prepared for us all the time? My Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. You go as far as you have life, and you step in that life and walk in that life. And thank God I cannot see all that God has provided as for me. So I have to go by faith. And that's what God is saying to Samuel. Even the great man Samuel had difficulty in walking by faith. So the Lord sees the heart. And the same word seeth or looketh are the same words as provided. And that's what God looks deeper than you and I. I saw these two little children run up a cross. Oh, so the Lord, I can't see what's in their heart. But make them a G.L. movie. Make them a Charles Spurgeon. Make them an Adam Jackson. There may be. What you and I must learn to do, just be faithful and continue to walk by faith and see as God sees. God has provided, and God said, I will show you something. So we are, use that little word, provide, underline it. It intrigued me. And the provision was there all the time, and Samuel didn't know it, Jesse didn't know it, the nation of Israel didn't know it, but God knew it. You see, God's still in control, and God's running things, God's planning things. So there was a perception, and it's very clear, God provided for them. And God will provide for you. Look in verse 12, if you will. And he sent and brought him down And there's a beautiful ruddy, and he was ruddy, and wherewith of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And he took off.
You know, even the daddy thought, there's no way that God would ever use that little old shepherd boy. And it even didn't even bring out to even be considered.
Isn't that just like our God?
He takes the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And our God loves to take an old crooked stick with some knots on and draw a straight line and says, we don't need all these engineers and so forth. You just give me an old crooked stick and deal the all straight line. That's what I want. And our God is simply in control in this command, and how it serves my heart. So there was a perception here that only God saw. So they obeyed God, and they walked with God. And as they walked, not by sight or by appearance, they saw God's provision. And then I want you to not only notice God's provision, but I want you to notice something else. I want you to see the protest about this command. Look at it in verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I come to sacrifice the heifer. Oh, when I read that, God stirred my soul. I thought, thank God. What protection God has for those that do this work. You know what this is a picture of? Calvary. It's sacrifice. Going to go sacrifice the red heifer. They're going to sacrifice the red heifer. And he said, you go and you take a red heifer, and what a protection for us when we're doing God's will. When we're in the will of God, we are protected by the blood of the Lamb, and there's not enough devils in hell, out of hell, not enough demons that can stop us. We are protected by Calvary. Just do God's will. Notice something else about this. And he said, tell them I have come to sacrifice. But what's Samuel? Look what Samuel did. And Samuel made an excuse. And how human it is. Now this Samuel, I can identify. Even that great man of God, Samuel, he started making excuses. He said, I'm making excuses. He said, why, they'll kill me. They'll kill me. Reminds me of me and you, doesn't it? Why, I can't go on so invitation. How's it dog this? I mean, I don't know what to say. There's no way I can pass. I mean, absolutely. There's absolutely no way that I could give the faith promise. I mean, I can't give any. I can do any more. Lose my beauty map, and God knows I need that. I mean, you see, even great men start making excuses why they can't follow God by faith. So he reminds me of myself. And he gives an excuse. And he said, how? Why? And he asks as if, we know more about than you do. Didn't God just tell me to kill? And didn't God just tell me to die for you? Now, have you thought of this guy? I mean, are you sure about this? How human and how frail we are when it comes to walk by faith. Look here. He said, he'll kill me. So what? Wouldn't you rather die doing the will of God? Doing the will of God than to die outside the will of God, not the will of God?
And he is. Making excuses. Do you think God will tell you to do something and did not provide you with the ability or the provision to do what he told you to do?
Absolutely. Yes, I learned from, I've got it down from them. I said, Rod, what have you learned from these excuses from this great man saying? Number one, I learned that the best of men are still just men after their death. You know what I've learned in the last 10 years of my life? Especially since I've been in God's school as a pastor. Without me, I can do nothing. Without the Lord, I can do nothing. And in my weakness, He is made strong. So the best of men are still just men of the best. Second thing I learned, without the help of God, none of us would be able to stand. God has provided us. Don't get stuck up. First thing I learned, it shows us the danger of mourning too much and getting despondent in spirit and losing our joy. And dedicated people do that sometimes. If everything just doesn't go just right, they'll quit having the devotion. Well, God doesn't know me. I did, after all, I tried to serve God and it didn't work. And this happened. And to get despondent and get discouraged. And God said, how long are you going to be? You fill your horn of oil and you go anoint my king. And you fill me with peace. But I tell you what it did do. I learned something else. I learned it produced a dedicated, determined spirit inside me. Because to do God's will, it will make us take one step of faith at a time. You walk one step of faith at a time. And I learned something else. This morning, God whispered to my heart and said, stand here in that room. While that boy was down there in the kitchen, eating hot and smelling like an old hog, Daddy had already provided a fatty calf for the home.
All he had to do was just get like God, getting God's will, and do what God wanted to do. And Daddy had a fatted calf in the barn, already fattening him up and getting ready for him.
My. What a God, he said.
My.
That makes me want to be a man. That stirs my soul.
And I learned from him.
And it helped me to learn that God takes to provide for us. What else did I learn? Well, I learned that all this came on because of the evil of the leadership of the nation of Israel. That's why I read the first part of it. I read that Saul was an evil man. Saul was a wicked man. Read how he disobeyed God. Read what he would do to hold on to the power over the people. He disobeyed God, and then he blamed the people and said, I did it for the good of the people. He's a wicked, evil man. This protest shows just how wicked Saul had become. Reminds you of anyone? He keeps his power and his position, no matter what it took. And in 1 Samuel, look at all the priests he had slain. He had them slain. Look, and Saul continues to try to kill David. Tried to get rid of David. Why? Because he was a rival. I he was showing him up. So why was Saul so wicked? He was man's choice. And David was God's choice.
Saul rejected God's word. Saul rejected God's leadership. Saul went to the wicked witch to get advice. Saul was manipulative. Saul used the people. Saul did everything he could do to hold on to his power. He even faced repentance and said,
he did everything to hold on to his power. And behind his sin on the people, I want to do, Paul was saying, what's best for the people. So, the farther you go away from obedience to the word of God, the darker and the apostasy you go. Now, what's the example? I see an example here, Mr. Man. I see an example of the red heifer of salvation. How? He could take a heifer and say that. That's provision for safety. And nobody can destroy a man that is in the blood as a sacrifice.
What a wonderful example of Calvary. Samuel was under the threat of death by a wicked king, afraid that he's going to be killed, he's going to be annihilated if he obeys God.
But God made provision. I want you to see God made provision.
God, in his sovereign mercy, provided a way for escape from the death threat of a wicked king. You do God's will, and I have provided. Hey, listen, the devil can't get me. I'm under the blood. I am under the blood, folks. I am secure. This is me. So round, so firm, so fully packed. Here I am. I am in the eternal love of God. There's no beginning and no end to it. You know what this is? This is I am in Christ. You know what this is? This is God. Where am I? I'm in Christ. Christ in God. You know what this is? I am sealed unto the day of redemption by the power of the Holy Spirit. And before the wicked king could get to me, he'd have to kill the Holy Spirit. He'd have to dethrone God, annihilate Calvary, and get under the blood. And if he got me and got under the blood, he'd be a crazed devil. So don't you have to worry about it. I want you to know we're secure because we're obeying and we're protected by the sacrifice of the red heifer. Rejoice in the security you have as a believer. So, the heifer is a provision of safety. Picture Calvary. Samuel was under the threat of a wicked king. But not that. Samuel, in his own mercy, provided, God in his own mercy, provided a way for Samuel to escape death. God is so merciful, he said, I'll tell you all this about it. Have you ever tried to help God see the same God? Have you ever tried to help God see the same God? Say, listen, God in his mercy knew the heart of Samuel would have some fear in it when he started to try to walk by faith. I've seen a people going into this city where there were priests who were compromising. And God said, I've got to fix that. Let me tell you something. How was the way Samuel was to escape death?
the way was by the sacrifice.
Take, he says, a heifer.
That heifer is an innocent heifer. Oh, I had time to give you a message on that red heifer.
Take the heifer, an innocent animal, and slay it. Where was he going?
Well, he's going to Bethlehem.
Do you know that calf was already there, and he took it to where? Where did God send it?
Bethlehem.
Do you know what Bethlehem means?
The house, the bread, and the place of praise.
You go and take that sacrifice. There's going to be a baby born in Bethlehem. And he's going to be the son of David, the King of Kings. And he's going to provide protection. And you go with the confidence, and you go with the assurance. And Daniel went by faith. It was not God's provision. Calvary is not man's plan, but God's plan.
So you're under the threat of death today, are you? By a wicked king, because of your sin, but God in his mercy has provided a sacrifice. Isn't that wonderful? Our Lord was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, this was not just a man's plan, this was God's plan. I want you to know that Calvary was not an afterthought.
There was a lamb slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And it is not an afterthought. God loves me. I don't understand all this, but I'm trying to figure it out. But God loves me just as much before the stars were hung and the moon was created. God loved me just as much in eternity past as he'll love me in eternity future, and God loves me in Christ, and there was a lamb slain, and God provided for my salvation. All I had to do was accept it by faith. Brother, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And it is God's plan, not man's plan. And there's a day coming that a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that lamb will one day, thank God, come back and reign upon the throne of his Father, David, and there will be an endless supply. There will be obedience to him. Like Joseph. I was thinking of Joseph this year. Everybody is eating. But God gave Joseph the key to the cornfield. They meant it for evil.
But Joseph is a picture and type of my Lord. He's got the provision. He's got the word. And I think, don't you ever worry about God not providing. He tells you to do something. You obey God. He supplies.
He was the feast when the death angel Passover. He was the manna when the children of Israel feasted upon. He was the light in the darkness of Goshen. He was the honey in the rock. He was the water that came out of the rock. He was the living water that was not in the well. He was the meat that the disciples knew not of. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He does not leave us lost in the wilderness. He knows the way out. I was talking to Brother Whitehorn. I'll never forget it. I said, Brother, we're in a mess in our country. I said, boy, it sure is a mess, and it's getting darker all the time. And he said, yes, but Brother Bell, we know the way out. And we know the way out. He is the way. Listen, when God commands you and me to do something, you step out by faith and obey him. And he is the way. He already has provided. So thank God. He is all I need. He's my Alpha. He's my Omega. Love him. Follow him. He's the commander you can trust. He's the great commander in chief. And you can follow him. I close with this story.
one of my favorite characters is Stonewall Jackson. I love him because of his loyalty. I love him because of his discipline. I love him because he was loyal to the commander in chief. General Lee had said to one of the terrorists, you see, the Thomas Jackson, tell him that I'd like to see him if he has time, if he's in this vicinity. The carrier went and told him that. And immediately Jackson got up, put his clothes on his head. He said, "Hey, what are you doing, sir? What are you doing? It's a blizzard out here." General Jackson said, "I'm going to see the commander." But he said, "If you were, it wasn't, it would be just like the sea." Read the word. I have it in the book. The document. This is what the general said. "General Lee's slightest wish is as my greatest command." And in the blizzard, he got on the horse and rode to each other. God give us that kind of a loyalty whenever God tells us to do something. God wants you to stay in the choir. God wants you to keep things good for us. God wants you to do it and show invitation. God wants you to start giving permission. God wants you to call. Some of you quit. You can't know where I can do it. I just can't do it. No wonder you're having a hard time. You just say that. There's provision in this commandment, and it's a red heifer, and it was given by our God, and He will provide. See, it's already there. I forgot it before. You may not realize it, but God will provide. Okay, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.